Welcome to Manner Tools, our guidance on the foundations of presenting, part two. Folks, this podcast answers the questions. What are the fundamentals to mastering presentations? What should I work on when I'm just starting to present? How can I become a truly outstanding presenter? If your knowledge of DISC, high D's, I's, S's, and C's, the perfectionists, the Attila the Huns, the marketers, the team players, if that has helped you become more effective at work, you'll want to seriously consider coming to our Effective Communications Conference. We set the basics of DISC in an hour or so, and then we spend the rest of the day teaching you how finally to communicate effectively, which is to pay attention to what your listener does and communicate in a way that makes sense to them. At the end of the day, you'll be able to read someone in a conversation, determine their major DISC tendency, and then based on that, make some changes in how you deliver to improve the chances that you get harmony and congruence and collaboration and not drama, conflict, and tension. Come see us. And then second is mastering behaviors. Now, there are a lot of people who will say, well, wait a minute, I know Wendy's joke about ums and ahs, and I know there are things I'm supposed to do and make eye contact and so on. Yeah, no, and I'll explain why. Most of us as presenters never even get to the second stage, mastering your own behaviors. You're stuck getting the content because I got to tell you, here's why we put content first, because I know that if you're listening, when your boss tells you, I want a presentation on something, you immediately think about the what. You don't start practicing your delivery. And in fact, you can't deliver, you can't rehearse until you have the presentation created. To practice behaviors like eye contact or hand gestures or where to stand or how to catch the medicine ball. And if you don't know what that is, there's a podcast about it. You can't practice that devoid of content. So while most people think, oh, presenting is those behaviors that Mark and Wendy mention all the time. No, because your behavior proves that what you focus on is content and not behavior. If you're stuck getting the content right and you don't master the content, I can assure you behaviors will betray you. If you don't know the what of something that you're presenting, your behaviors are going to show that to be true.
Yeah, it's a lot harder to be confident and stand upright and all the things that people say about behaviors for presenters if you are unsure of the ground you're standing on, which is the content, right?
Yeah, and look, there are scores of behaviors you can engage in that will improve the audience's ability to comprehend the content. Audiences aren't emotionless machines. The relationship you're able to create with them affects their ability to listen and learn. Most presenters assume that when they're learning presenting, mastering their own behaviors, right, the techniques should come first, like I said. If we know what to do first, then we can learn the content for any presentation afterwards. But again, if you haven't mastered the content, we know that we haven't mastered the content when we're standing in front of the audience. An audience will forgive you some behavioral weaknesses if they believe you have mastered your content. They will not tolerate content weakness from someone who behaves like a presenter.
Yeah, they don't want someone who's glib and looks good, yes, but doesn't have any substance. They'd rather have someone with substance that wasn't a great presenter, but actually taught them something, right?
Yeah. I'll put it as simply as possible. For every 1,000 hours of presentations that happen in professional life today, less than 1 hour is spent on rehearsing. I could have distilled the entire second bullet of this podcast, that you have to master your behaviors, into one word, and damn virtually everyone here, including myself sometimes, and that is rehearsal. If you can count on one hand the amount of rehearsing, the times you've rehearsed a presentation from beginning to end, not in your head, but out loud in the venue or a roughly equivalent venue, if you can count them on one hand over the course of a year, if you're a normal manager with a normal number of presentations that managers make, you've just proved our point that you have not mastered presenting, even if people say to you, boy, that was great.
Yeah, most people I find are a really terrible judge of good presentations, mostly because everybody's a super bad, and if you're just bad, then they think that's good.
Well, yeah, you know, I would be a really bad judge of the physics of black holes, because I don't know anything about black holes other than what you can hear in 35 seconds or in the first three sentences of a Wikipedia article. But the idea then, therefore, that I could judge some scientific treatise on a black hole is ludicrous. On the other hand, everyone thinks they're a pretty good listener. I like to joke with people. I say, I'm terrible at tasting wine. I'm a really bad driver. And part of the reason I say that is because everybody I know who drinks wine says, yeah, I'm actually pretty good at tasting things. Like, you, really? Everybody's above average? Are you kidding me? And then, oh, I'm a good driver. No, everybody's not a good driver. It can't be true. I'll be in the half that makes the top half possible. I'm not a good driver. And everybody thinks I'm good at this. Yeah, I'm good at that. No, really, you're not. No, and no offense, just admit it. Gosh, there are so many things. I could probably do an entire cast of all the things I'm below average on.
Yeah, because you concentrate on the two or three things that are important and that you're good at.
The one thing.
And then making sure you get better and better. I mean, I have been watching you present for 8-9 years.
Yep.
And I thought you were amazing the first time I saw you.
Oh, I'm an order of magnitude better.
Fire now.
Yeah, and I enjoy it much more. And when I look back, I think, geez, I didn't know. Which, of course, brings up my old story of when I was 25, I thought I knew what was going on. And then I turned 30 and discovered, oh, dear Lord, I didn't know what was going on when I was 25. But now, at 30, I know. Then I turned 35 and discovered, oh, dear Lord, I did not know what I was doing when I was 30. And what's worse, I thought I did. But now, at 35, I know. And here I am at 55, knowing what I didn't know and the enormity of what I didn't know at 50. Folks, if it sounds like I'm chiding you, I don't mean to. I want you to be great. This cast just sets out the underlying principles we're going to use over the course of the next few years to help you become great. Last phase. This is my favorite part of it, because when we get to this part of helping someone becoming a presenter, and it takes a long time, folks, but it's worthy of your effort. And you can do it with the presentations you've already had. That's what we're going to do. Wendy and I are going to create a series of podcasts so that you are able to listen to them and become masterful. If you can learn to master your relationship with the audience, when you first start feeling that moment where you have forgotten about the content, because it's like breathing and you know it so well, you don't have to think about it. It's unconscious. And then you so mastered your own behaviors that those are unconscious as well. And you can give your full cognitive attention, not to the words you're saying, but how the audience is feeling about their hearing of your words. And you can change your behavior because of it. You have started the path toward truly illuminative, emotionally fulfilling presentation mastery. All great presentation guidance begins, continues, and ends with the audience in mind. And if you read something that doesn't talk about the audience, throw it away.
Because without the audience, you're in an empty room, right?
Yeah. I mean, well, yeah, there's no presentation without an audience. I used to joke that I think Drucker actually said, to be a leader, you have to have followers.
Right. Nice.
Yeah, which is why the whole industry of leadership and, here's what you need to do to lead. The behavior you're talking about has nothing to do with people following you. But anyway.
That's another thing that everyone thinks they're good at, right? I'm a great manager and I'm a great leader, but I'm not good at either of those things, but I'm a really good follower and I'm okay with that.
Yeah. But if you prepare perfectly for a presentation and you rehearse perfectly and there's no audience ever, you know, it's not a presentation. And if you have a presenter, but you don't have an audience, a presenter without an audience isn't a presenter. Okay? Communication is what the listener does for the third or fourth time today. If you know your material and say it correctly, but not in a way the audience can learn from it, you're not achieving your goal. This final stage is when you've mastered your subject and yourself such that you are no longer thinking about your subject or yourself. And you can focus exclusively on the experience the audience is having with the material, which is essentially an extension of you for the time you're presenting. without mastery of the content or yourself, you end up thinking about the content or yourself. If you're thinking about the content or yourself, you're not thinking about the audience. If you're not thinking about the audience, you cannot deliver an exceptional presentation. And in the last stage of mastery, the pinnacle, which is where the learning just begins, you don't just know your material well enough that you can look your audience members in the eye. I'm doing Joey air quotes, right? So that you can, quote, look your audience members in the eye, unquote. At the final stage, you can look into their eyes and, quote, tell what they are experiencing, unquote.
So many people say eye contact. Then you're making eye contact for the sake of making it because someone told you that's the
behavior. Right. That's the second level. And that's one of the things people always say is, you know, make eye contact. It's a behavior, but it's a behavior devoid of the content, the preparation. Mm-hmm. And of course, those people would all say, oh, no, you need to know your content. Well, they don't know how to teach that. But even worse, they say, well, if you can't look people in the eye, just stare at the point between their eyes. Or look between the people so that everyone will think that you're looking at someone else.
Which they don't.
Which essentially leaves every individual in the room saying he never looked at me, which mm-hmm. is actually worse than looking at everyone, because now each person thinks that everyone else got looked at but them, which actually demotes them. And what's more, looking at a spot between the eyes is you're not going to be able to tell what they're thinking or feeling. But if you've mastered content and mastered your own behaviors, you don't have to think about it. You don't have to worry about it. You can look and say, if I feel confident about who I am and what I'm doing and what I know, I really do want to understand. And I don't mind if what I'm doing is not helpful because I can change it because I've mastered the two things that would allow me to change it, my knowledge and my behaviors. Mastery takes more than knowing what to say and how to say it. You have to know them so well, you don't have to think about them anymore, and you can think about the audience. And I will tell you, probably the most instructive, or maybe the most, I guess illustrative is probably the right word. The most illustrative example I have of this happened a few years ago. I was presenting in New Jersey on the second floor of a hotel right near the Newark airport. For a long time, it was one of my least favorite. It was my least favorite airport in the world because it was where I flew into before I had to go back to West Point after having had a break, and I hated going back. And so I was presenting in Newark, and it was the day that there was a earthquake in Virginia, which is actually fairly close to Mike's house. And Mike was with me, actually, and had to leave and go home. And because of the tectonics and of the geological structure of the northeastern seaboard in the United States, that earthquake in Virginia was transmitted through rock shelves in such a way that we felt the earthquake quite noticeably on the second floor of this room we were in New Jersey.
And everyone panicked, right?
No, not everyone panicked. A couple people did, much to their own chagrin. But my experience was very unique in that I've presented the material thousands of times, very confident in my behaviors, if for no other reason that I've been doing it so long, and I've taught hundreds, if not thousands, how to do it, and enjoy it immensely to see the joy of someone going from not being good to being good, which is one of the reasons why, Wendy, when you joined Toastmasters, I was so thrilled, and I know you're much better now than you used to be, but I was presenting, it was about 2 o'clock in the afternoon. I know my stuff, I know myself, I know the tools to use and the techniques to use, and I am focused on the audience. I still, to this moment today, cannot tell you, I could if I looked at an agenda right now, what I was talking about, but I do not know off the top of my head. It was about 2 o'clock in the afternoon, and I'm standing in front of an audience, there's probably 40 or 50 people in the room, and I am presenting the Effective Manager Conference, and I'm probably halfway down the center aisle of the audience. So probably half of the audience, 20, 30 people, are in front of me and to my left and right, and half are actually behind me because I've moved into the audience. And I'm talking and I'm making my points, and it appears to me, looking at everyone, in fact, even as I say this on the podcast, recording from my home in Pebble Beach and Wendy's in Texas right now, that I'm moving my head from side to side and looking at everyone's eyes and their body language and seeing how I'm doing with them. What experience are they having? What experience are they having? What experience are they having? And it is the only time in my entire presenting career that At the very same moment, I lost every person in the room simultaneously. I'm presenting, I'm focused on them. I'm, in a way, it's almost like having an out-of-body experience, but it's not that big a deal. And all of a sudden, because I'm paying attention to them, I realize, just like that, I've lost them. And it's never happened to me. There's nothing wrong with losing one person. If I'm looking at that person, or if somebody moves in a funny way in the corner of my eye, I'll turn and look to see whether or not I've lost them, or I've got them, or they're making a note. What are they doing? What is my sense of whether or not they're comprehending, that they're motivated to change their behavior, if in fact it's a persuasive presentation, and so on. And in a moment, I lost everybody. And I immediately had this, I mean, there were 20 people in front of me and I lost them all in the same moment. Now, you guys may not realize that I probably should have said the story in different order. I don't tell the story all that often. I did not know that an earthquake was occurring, but they did. In fact, I chided myself that if I had been better, they would never have felt it, because they would have been in the presentation and not on the ground. But I was talking, and in a moment I knew. And I turned and looked left to the right quickly of the aisle and I said, is everybody okay? What? I feel like I, and at that moment, I felt the second shock of the earthquake. And at that moment, I knew what had happened 2 seconds before when I lost everyone. And I would never have known that through the audience had I not mastered content and behavior and was focused on the audience completely. My experience of an earthquake came through another person because I didn't feel it, because I wasn't thinking about my own experience or where I was. I was thinking about the audience's experience. And then once I realized, once the spell was broken, I felt the aftershock. And then I said, oh, we're having an earthquake. Let's everybody file out. And one lady got up and turned around and ran and promptly tripped over the carpet and fell flat on her face. And in true manager tools, nothing gets in our way style, we went out to the outside until they let us back in, and I presented underneath the tree because we promised everybody we'd be done.
Wow.
I would never have experienced that. That was one of the first moments that I could talk about that was singularly useful in terms of describing it. I was like, wow, that's a reminder that I was actually really, really good. It was like hitting a perfect golf shot. You think you're going to hit a perfect one every time, but you almost never do.
That's such a cool story.
Yeah,
that you are. It's one of those flow moments, you know? You're so in it that you don't notice what's going on around you, but it's transmitted to you by the other people.
Yeah. I will remember it till the day I die. And I knew I had arrived before then in terms of being a good presenter, but I never take anyone's word that, oh, you're a good presenter. But it was a moment that I realized that is a concrete example. Yeah. Okay. So let me sum up. You got to know your content. Most people stop and they think they should stop at a 2 on a 10 scale, when in fact they ought to stop when they're at 11 on a 10 scale. You got to know your own behavior, yourself. And then the last stage is really mastering the first two such that you can really start focusing on the audience. Folks, over the next few years, we'll be putting out a series of podcasts to help you in your development of all these things. I know many of you might want them right now, but in order to keep the podcast free, we can't do everything all at once. And I will tell you, if you're listening, presentation mastery is within your reach. It does take time and effort and dedication, and most people won't master it because they won't put in the effort and the time and don't have the dedication.
It's like everything. You don't need talent. You just need work.
Yeah. It's like Derek Jeter said, right? How did he put it? What was it? You don't need any talent at all, right? To work hard. And if you can put the what and the how together to achieve the why, and the why, of course, is always the audience, when it actually happens to you, it's pretty sublime. Thanks, Wendy.
Thank you.
See y'all next week.
Bye, everyone.
Thanks, everybody. That does it for the Foundations of Presenting. We look forward to rolling out our guidance in the months and years ahead. Stay tuned. This podcast was produced by Manager Tools. Manager Tools creates actionable management guidance every single week. To receive additional materials via our newsletter and to find products for situations you may face as a manager or a professional, go to www.manager-tools.com. Search for Manager Tools on Facebook, Twitter, and LinkedIn.